third Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
The question this week is, how does God fight for us?
That's a good question. God uses such unconventional means to fight for each of us when we belong to Him. He causes disruptions in the spirit realm that literally translate into victory in the natural. For example, He will split the Red Sea for His people. He ordered the sun to stand still for others. He causes the heavens to fight for us. He'll send fire from heaven. He'll confound your enemies. He'll send ambushments in the camps of your enemies. He creates sounds in the mulberry bushes that frighten your enemies. These are just some of the ways that God will fight for you. He will do whatever it takes by any means necessary to fight for you.
We thank you for your question.
In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And this is the part we want to talk about. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us."
Before you are a conqueror, you are first a warrior. I mean, God prepares us.
Amen, because you can't be a conqueror in a battle that you're not even fighting, right?
That's
at least in the natural realm.
In the natural, you know, even in the natural realm, when they, you know, have you, now you can volunteer for the armed forces. At one time, they used to draft you in.
And you had to sign up.
But this time, it's a voluntary thing. And so now when you go into the service, you're no longer your own. Remember, they make sure that you are reprogrammed, that your mindset is now a warrior. You're no longer are in the affairs or concerned about the affairs of the world when you were not in the service. Now you're concerned, and they're going to make sure that you're concerned and ready and prepared.
Because now, you now belong to them.
You now
and
belong
isn't that
to
what
the
God
United
says?
States of America.
He says, let this mind be in
you. That's
He's
right.
transforming our minds because we now belong to Him. We are ambassadors of Christ, and He wants us representing Him, and we have to then shed the old, put on the new, and then we become representatives. So for a conqueror, you first have to be a warrior, and every conqueror has at least one enemy.
Oh my
at
God.
Least one enemy. And in the natural, every conqueror has to go to battle and fight, because you can't conquer something that you didn't fight or overcome in the natural.
But in the spirit
in the
realm,
spiritual,
we have enemies that we really cannot see. We see the results of it, but it is God that gives us the ability to see in the spirit realm and prepares us to be warriors to fight against our enemies.
And the thing about God, because in the natural, you can't be a conqueror unless you're first a warrior, and every conqueror has at least one enemy, and every conqueror has to fight. That's in the natural, but we are not ordinary conquerors.
No.
As a matter of fact, we're not even conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
Yes.
The Bible calls conquerors, the Greek word for conqueror is nikeo, from the root word Nike, which means victory. It literally means we gain a surpassing victory. We are hyper conquerors or super conquerors. We are not just conquerors. We are much more. We are super conquerors because we don't fight by ordinary means. Oftentimes, we don't even fight. As the question said, how does God fight for us? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are battles you will go in that you do not even have to fight. In Exodus in 14 and Deuteronomy in 3, the Bible says God will fight for us. And sometimes the way God fights for us is he allows us to go as the physical representative of the army, but behind the scenes, he's doing things, sending ambushments in the camps of your enemies, sending sounds that make them flee before there's anyone chasing them. God will do supernaturally what you cannot do naturally, and then he'll let you go in and claim the spoil.
That's it. You know,
when the lepers were sitting at the wall we talked about the other day, and they said, we could sit here and die, or we can go in and we can possess the land and take our chances and see if somebody might let us live. And they went into the camp of the enemy, and the enemy had already fled and left everything there because God sent noise for the enemy to hear, and they thought that there was somebody chasing. God will cause your enemy to run when ain't nobody even chasing them.
You know, when even in your talking is that when you are a warrior and there's a war, there's always supposed to be a strategy. In the natural, no man goes to war unless they first look at their enemy and see what their weaknesses are and then build a strategy to overcome them. And in the supernatural, when God wants us to conquer our enemies, he says in some fights, he says, I will do this thing. There's no need for you to be involved in this. I will do this. It's still a strategy because even in Jehoshaphat, he told them, he said, just praise. That's the only thing you have to do.
And praise is your weapon.
And praise is your weapon. And then as he told in 2 Kings, you know, when he told them there was no need to fight in this battle because he had the strategy. He caused the soldiers of the enemy to think that they were being pursued by their enemies, and they took flight and ran. And that's the way God is. There's always a strategy.
And you know what's so amazing is that, I mean, you didn't do anything.
And
that's the way he normally does for us anyway. It's always unconventional. It's not the way you plotted and planned and thought it would happen, because he doesn't want you taking credit in the natural for something that he worked out in the supernatural. He wants to be glorified, and he wants to get all of the honor and all of the praise. And what he gives us is the assurance that no weapon formed against
us shall
prosper. He gives us that assurance. He tells us by this you will know that I am favoring you, because I will not allow your enemies to triumph over you. God gives us assurances after assurances that he will fight for us, that you don't have to worry. God is on your side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And all we got to do is put our confidence, our trust, and our hope in him and watch God. As a matter of fact, what he told Jehoshaphat is you don't need to fight. You don't have to do anything but glorify the God that's going to fight on your behalf.
You know, and when you talk about that, we don't have to fight by ordinary means. You talked about God fight for us, and then we talked about praise as a weapon when we were talking about Jehoshaphat. But this is another one that seems so hard to really visualize and really understand, but it is so true. The third weapon is love.
Absolutely.
You know, and one of the things is that you love your enemies. And you know, I've seen it happen where at one point a person will come against you, but all of a sudden God gives you the strategy and you may not understand. He'll say, don't say anything. He said, just love them. And you're saying, what?
And he'll have you blessing them that curse you.
That's right.
And doing good to them that despitefully you.
That's
his
right.
Ways are so unconventional. You're sitting there saying, God, there's no way I want to do right by them. Matter of fact, didn't we just see that movie, The War Room? And you know that one scene where the man is going to help the other man that has been his antagonist.
Yes.
And you're wondering, why would he do that? He's got some place to be. He's got something he needs to do. And this man has never been kind to him. You will love them because that is the way. God's ways are not your ways. His methods are not your methods.
Right.
Do it the way he says do it, and I guarantee he will make everything all right.
That's right. And you know, even in that movie, did you see the face on the look on that man's face? It's like
stunned.
Why would he
help me?
He helped me after all that. It's like heaping coal coals of fire upon their head is because he recognized that he had done this man wrong. He wanted to fire him, but now he is in need. And now this man that used to be, he considered an enemy,
right,
now is now helping me. So you could tell on his face,
and
he was humble.
He gains nothing from doing
it. He gains nothing because he's already been fired.
And that's the best kind of love is when,
right,
you don't have anything in the natural to gain from doing it, but you're being obedient because you're exemplifying the same love that has been given and shown to you, the same mercy, the same grace that has been extended to you. You are now taking that and extending it to somebody else.
Love is our weapon. And you talked about, you know, we're more than a conqueror. How is that? Love more than a conqueror. You know why? Because now you have shown love to your enemy. It breaks down that person's defenses, and now you have captured that person's soul. And knowing that that person is saying, there has to be a God, because why would this person stop and help me? Why would this person love me when I've done everything I could to defeat them? Why would this person help me out when I have cursed them out or said some bad things or manipulated or been an enemy to? Why? And what happens is that love that God has given you the grace, because remember, you're saying, why do I have to love this person? But because you are obedient, God gives you the grace, the favor to love that individual. Why? You're showing him that God is good, that God is love, and that God is merciful. And I'm telling you,
that is
a weapon.
We kind of always look at it in the natural, and we think, well, they don't deserve this, and they don't deserve that, and they've done this, and they've done that. But if you always bring it back to you, you can see that you didn't deserve the mercy and the grace of God either, and God kept on loving you. Mm. You kept messing up, and he kept on loving you. You kept cursing him, and he kept on loving you. You kept being disobedient and an enemy of the cross of Christ, and he kept on loving you. But so why not love them like God has loved you? I mean, none of us were deserving or are deserving of the love and the mercy and the grace of God. So just like he has loved you, he wants you to go forth and love somebody else. And it's something about the love of God. We just can't explain it, how that it will break down that hardness of our heart. The Bible says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. When you realize that God didn't send you to hell, he's not condemning you, he's not cursing you, God is not mad at you, he's not angry at you, God is not judging you, and he's still being merciful and kind to you, it causes you to fall down on your face and say, help me, Lord. It will cause you to repent of that which you have done, because you know that God has been kind to me without cause and without merit.
You said that the goodness of God leads men to a repentance. That's hard to hear sometimes. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. But it is so true, because God is so good that the goodness of God will humble a man's soul. And when they begin to think about the things that God had done for them, the things that you really did deserve, that God did not do or give you, but yet instead he loved you, he wooed you into the kingdom. That is so appropriate that God will pursue you and God will show kindness to you to the point that you would have the desire to turn and find out, who is this God that continues to pursue me
and gives me the victory?
And
I mean,
me the
thanks
victory.
Be unto God who always causes us to triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes you triumphant. He makes you a conqueror. God has made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, I am more than a conqueror.
I'm not just a conqueror. No, not just a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. The fight is fixed. I know I'll win. I won't give in, 'cause I'm more than a conqueror. My walk is strong and my faith is long. I can't go wrong, 'cause I'm more.
more than a conqueror. I am strong. And you know, those words come when your mindset has shifted from that of a state of defeat to the state of victory, knowing that God has given you the power and the strength to overcome any situation. And you know what? That's what happens when you're, again, when your perspective changes, when you realize that it's not necessarily you that is in this fight, but it is God that is in this fight working on your behalf. God, help me to see me as you see me. That's one of the prayers that we should always pray, is that God, help me to see me the way you see me. Because you know what? He calls us beloved, and he tells us that we love.
How does God see us?
And he sees us the way, because he made us. He has a purpose and plan for our life. He knows the little things that trips us up. Don't you know he knows the beginning from the end? I mean, he knows it all. And so what he does is give us the power and the strength to overcome. He puts his super on our natural. That's that is powerful. When God puts his super on our natural, then we become more
than
conquerors. We become more. And so that's exactly what it means. That's the reason why we have to see ourselves the way that God sees us in order for us to do what he has called us to do.
Colossians 1 and 22, God sees me as blameless and free from all accusations.
Oh.
I mean, you might be blaming me. The enemy might be accusing me. He is the accuser of the brethren. But when God looks at me, he sees me as blameless and free from accusation. That's why God, when the enemy was accusing the high priest Joshua before the throne of God, that's why God wasn't listening to the rantings of the devil, but he said, take off his filthy garments and bring him a garment of pure white, because God no longer saw him like God no longer sees you as full of accusations. He sees you as forgiven, according to 1 John 2 and 12. I am forgiven. Those are the sweetest words that can come off of our mouth. I am forgiven. It doesn't worry about what you did and what you're forgiven from. You are forgiven.
See, this is so important, because in his word, he says, there is therefore no condemnation. And some people are under a guilty stain. Some are condemned because of their past or because of words that have been spoken in their lives. And God is saying that I do not condemn you. He said, don't you know I knew you before you were even put in your mother's womb,
knew
even
everything.
Before your mother and father even thought about you. Don't you know I know all this? And listen, we all can say, raise our hands and say that times we have felt condemned, but God is saying, listen, I do not condemn you. And you know what? When our way have been hard, or when the battle has been forceful, sometimes we forget about the fact that God loves us and that God is going to give us the victory. And so therefore, he is saying unto us, that condemnation that comes from the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, he's saying, listen, I've already taken care of that. And that's something that we need to remember.
And that's why, you know, recently with that situation with that county clerk that wouldn't issue the license for the same-sex marriage, and the people were piling on her saying, how could she not issue license? She's been married 3 times. She has kids out of wedlock. And I wanted to just say, if I could only talk to the lady, I don't know her, but I just wanted her to tell her that if you truly are washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you are reborn in Christ, then you need to take all that accusations they're hurling at you and let them know, not only was I married 3 times and had 2 kids out of wedlock, but there's some stuff you don't know about me. And all of it's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am forgiven and I am free from accusation. I am blameless. And the other thing he said, I am redeemed. In Revelations, he said, I am redeemed. And let the redeemed of God, who know what it feels like to be washed in the power of the blood of the Lamb, let them worship the God of their salvation.
See, that's the reason why that scripture says we overcome by the blood of the
and
Lamb.
The power of our testimony.
And the power of our testimony.
So you need to use that as your victory chant. This is not something I'm ashamed ashamed of. I'm using this because I'm grateful that God has looked beyond my faults and said not guilty. He looked at me, all of me. He didn't just turn his face to the good side of me. He looked at all of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stuff you know
That's
about
right.
and the stuff you didn't even hear about yet. He saw it all, the stuff I've not even done, the mistakes I've not even made. And he said, you are forgiven. It's covered under the blood of the Lamb.
That's my victory chant.
Right. I am redeemed.
That's the reason why we say we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, and not on our own strength, but by the power and the grace and the mercy and the love of God that we have been forgiven. I don't care what you do. God is going to love you. The question is, do you love him? The question is, do you love him? Because if you loved him, the Bible says, then you would keep my commandments.
Not just in word, but indeed.
But indeed, that's really the question is right here. And so that goes back to, and change my perspective, then I'll change my life. Is that when I realize that, yes, that God loves me no matter what I do, he does. He created you. He loved you. And his love hasn't grown cold towards you. But the measure and the standard is this, is how much do you love him? He says, those who love him will keep my commandments. And because you keep his commandments, you are once again more than a conqueror.
Jesus went to the cross. Jesus suffered the accusation. Jesus suffered the ridicule.
Yes, he did.
Jesus endured the cross, and he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. What we did was we gained the benefit of his conquest, and we became more than conquerors. We didn't fight. We didn't go down Golgotha's road. We didn't suffer on the cross. We didn't get spat on. We didn't suffer the brutality. We didn't suffer the mockery, but we gained the benefit from all that he endured. So we are more.
Change your perspective and you change your life. In John 15:14, it says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Then saying that I am a friend of God. We know that Israel, he sings that I am a friend of God, and I know he loves me. And then the Bible, it also talks about when he talked to Abraham, he says, I tell my friends what I'm going to do even before I do it. I am a friend of God, meaning that I am no longer an enemy to God, because Jesus Christ took care of that. Before I was born again, I was at enmity with God. But now, because of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ and me receiving it, now I am his friend.
And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. God loves you.
Yes,
and God considers you his friend. How do you treat those that you consider your friends? God says you are his friend, and God is a perfect friend. Another thing, if you look at yourself the way God sees you seated in heavenly places. He said, even when we were dead in sins, God has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has given you a place of dominion, seated you in heavenly places even now. He said, you who were dead in sins, you who were no good and filthy and stinking, God, he picked you. He knew everything about you, and he still picked you anyway.
I am an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, meaning that I have an inheritance with God because of Jesus Christ. You know, when someone has died and they have left you an inheritance, I mean, specifically for you, that's what he's talking about. He says that possession that I had and have, he said, now I have transferred it to you. And that means, what does that mean? It means that I have the ability to love. I have the power that God has given me. I have prosperity. He's saying, listen, because you are an heir to the kingdom of God, and because Jesus Christ has secured it, he says, I will freely give unto you according to my riches in glory. And I know one thing, God says all the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. He says the whole earth is mine. And so he is the possessor of heaven and earth. So if he's giving unto us his riches, he gives us everything. There's nothing that we lack that he will not give unto us, because we are heirs. No one can take it back to court and disannul it. And we have the same benefits that Christ had when he was up on the earth.
And not heirs only, but he made us kings and priests unto God. If you read in Revelations chapter 1, he said, and you hath he made kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. And as kings and priests, he has given us dominion. He called us to take dominion over all of his creation. God has done so much more for us than we ever would have imagined. We just need to see ourselves as God sees us. We are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. In Deuteronomy 28 and 13, the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only and not beneath. You need to see yourself as God sees you. I mean, God sees you as more than a conqueror.
Therefore, we should say that I am strong. The scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, in your body, it might look like you're weak, but God said that when you say about yourself what I've said about you, then you will reap the benefits. I am strong.
And I am healed.
And I am healed. I'm set free. I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Those are the things that God is saying. Change your perspective and you change your life. It might look like I'm weak, but am I going to continue to say that I'm weak? The Bible says, say that I am strong. You can say that you're weak and remain in that state, or you can choose to say, I am strong and be more than a conqueror.
Line your confession up with the word of God. Pray even unto God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart line up with the word, God, that you have spoken over my life.
Well,
if God has given you a prophetic word, you need to begin to proclaim it, claim it, and speak it over your own life. You might not, David didn't look like a king when he was on the backside of the mountain tending to his father's sheep, but he was anointed as the king. You got to begin to believe what God has said about you. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your position is today. What did God say? Isn't that the name of our program? What does the Lord say? And whatever the Lord has said about you, line your confession and your faith up to that and proclaim it over your own life. Change your perspective and watch God change your life. You are more than a conqueror.
Yes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and here's a key word, be acceptable unto you, O Lord. Change your perspective and you'll change your life.
We thank you, dear God, for making us more than conquerors, giving us the battles that we didn't even fight for, land that we didn't even work in, houses that we didn't even build. We thank you for making us more than conquerors, for looking beyond our faults and meeting our needs. We are strong in you. We are healed in you. We are victorious in you. Thank you, dear God, for changing our perspective to proclaim over our own lives that which you have said about us. Let our words and our meditations be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, dear God. You have made us joint heirs with Christ. You have redeemed us and loved us, forgiven us and saved us, seated us in heavenly places, given us dominion. You have made us blameless and free from accusation. And today we stand as the liberated, the blood washed, the spirit filled heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. To thine be the glory, the power, the dominion, the majesty, all that is in the heavens and in the earth you created. And we as your creation give back unto you the glory and the honor, Lord, that's due your name. Thank you in Lord. Jesus' name.
I need just a little more Jesus.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.